Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine, analyze, and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. One Warm Coat is a national nonprofit organization that provides free coats to children and adults in need while promoting volunteerism and environmental sustainability. Since 1992, One Warm Coat has facilitated more than 50,000 drives across the country, distributing 8.3 million coats that have been distributed throughout more than 15,000 nonprofit partners, while keeping 21 million pounds out of landfills. According to the latest statistics, 37.9 million, or 11.5% of all Americans, now live in poverty. Beth Amadio, President and CEO of One Warm Coat, joins us. Beth, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so looking forward to talking with you. I'm just so excited about your nonprofit and the efforts and how valuable it is. So talk a little bit first about the significance of coat drives, particularly, you know, during the back-to-school period.
Well, the reason we are talking about coat drives so early in the season, and especially for us in the South, I'm also in the South, you know, it's still hot here.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it now because this is typically a time of year when families are going through closets and evaluating what they might need for this school year and what they can no longer wear or use from last school year. So this is a great time of year to set aside any gently worn outerwear that you or your children or your partner cannot use again this year and make a mental note to donate those items. It's also a really stressful time of year for families that are struggling to make ends meet. There's so many expenses this time of year with books and notebooks and clothes and shoes to purchase that One Warm Coat is trying to take that small piece, that shelter from the elements piece, and make it a little bit easier for those families that already have a lot of budget items on their plate right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share the history and mission or impact of One Warm Coat. I mean, how did the organization begin? And what has been the impact over the years?
Well, it started, as you mentioned, it started in 1992 with one woman in San Francisco, and she had a coat she wanted to donate, and she thought, you know, I bet there's a lot of other people that have coats mm-hmm. that they would like to donate as well. And so it became an annual coat drive that took place over Black Friday weekend. So right after Thanksgiving, for 7 years, it was only an annual coat drive in Union Square, San Francisco. And then another woman heard about it on the radio, and she met the founder, and she said, you know what, I feel like this is a model that could be used everywhere, not just here, and do you mind if I kind of take it and run with it? And so she became our national founder. Her name is Sherry Wood. She is now retired, and she now runs a lavender farm in Northern California. She's still going strong in her mm-hmm. 80s. And she really had this vision that not only was this going to be an opportunity to provide warmth to people who needed it, but also an opportunity to provide hands-on volunteer experience for anyone who wanted to participate, and anyone who wanted to could have a really tangible impact directly in their local community.
Okay. Well, with nearly, 38 million Americans living in poverty, How does this reality affect children's readiness for school preparation?
Well, what we've seen is that children who do not have the proper outerwear very often are left cold or wet while they are waiting for the bus or walking to and from school. But even worse than that, they're not really able to participate in outdoor activities, you know, such as recess or playing outside after school. And that's a huge loss. You know, it's so important for children to be able to get outside and breathe the fresh air and run and play. And we really want to make that possible. And for adults, the challenge is the same. You know, we have adults that are taking public transportation to and from work, walking their children to school, perhaps, you know, have a job that requires them to be outdoors for some period of time. So it's really important for the whole family.
And yeah, and it's something, therefore, that the whole family can benefit from. It's not just for the children in the family, but you also serve the needs of adults.
That's exactly it. We really, our coat drives collect all sizes from infants to senior citizens. And the nonprofits that we partner with have a wide variety of missions, everything from low-income preschools to programs for veterans, to homeless shelters, food pantries, programs for teens, programs for inner city youth, and really everything in between.
What does it take to set up a one warm coat?
So there's kind of two elements to what we do. There are the people who organize coat drives, and that is so easy. On our website, there is a button right at the top that says organize a coat drive. And anyone who wants to do that anywhere in the country can go to our website. It's free to register. We provide a lot of free resources to help make drives successful. Everything from graphics you can post on social media to even press releases that are pre-written that you can use to alert local media in your community. And actually, I'm so glad to be talking with 411 Teen, because one of the things that brings me a lot of joy is seeing the huge number of students and youth who participate by holding coat drives every year, you know, either with their schools or their faith-based organizations or their sports teams or clubs. There's a lot of teenagers and even younger children who hold coat drives. So that's, you know, kind of one side of what we do, are all of those people organizing coat drives. And people who want to be placed on our coat drive map or have their coat drive placed on the map can do that as well. And that's our most visited page on the website. We get about 300,000 visits to that page every year, and it's searchable by zip code. So anyone in the US who Googles, you know, donate coats near me or find a coat drive near me, goes to that map. So I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago here, it was a local Girl Scout troop. They held a coat drive. They borrowed a parking lot from a local church, and it was a Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4. They just advertised it in the community. Mm-hmm. Clean out your closets, bring your coats, and just drive through. And so the Girl Scouts were out there in their uniforms, you know, playing music and trying and having a lot of fun with it. And people just drove through the parking lot and handed the coats that they wanted to donate out the windows to the Girl Scouts. And they collected almost 400 coats in just 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it was, you know, just a really successful one-time drive. And there's lots of different ways to organize your drive. Some last for 3 hours, some last for 3 weeks, some 3 months. And they have the opportunity to be on that coat drive map. Then on the flip side, we have all of our really wonderful nonprofit partners who receive those coats and distribute them. So one of the reasons that One Warm Coat works everywhere from, you know, Minnesota, where it's absolutely freezing, to Tallahassee, is that the coats that are collected are distributed in the community where they are collected. So
Okay, that's
what
great.
happens, yeah, so what happens is, you know, in Minnesota, they're getting the great big thick down coats with huge hoods. But in Tallahassee, we get a lot of more like windbreakers, lighter jackets, raincoats,
Indeed.
hoodies, things that are needed in your environment and geography.
Okay. You mentioned people could just go to your website. Would you share the website?
Absolutely. It is onewarmcoat.org, and the number one is spelled out, O-N-E. And there's a place on there, again, to register to hold a coat drive. There's also a place on there if you are somebody who is a volunteer or an employee of a nonprofit organization and you would like to be eligible to receive coats. It's also free to join our network. And there's a place on the website where you can fill out a super quick form to apply to become a partner and receive coats as well.
Now I'm thinking, you know, my brain is just going in all different directions as you're talking, but well, let me go back. First, you said there were two things. One, organize, somebody could organize the coats. And what was the second component?
And then the second one is to register a nonprofit that you love, you know, or encourage them to register. If you're a volunteer or a board member, get them to go ahead and sign up to be part of our network to help us distribute coats.
Okay. Now, how does one, I would think they'd need a large storage area.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, you know, what do we need exactly to do this one warm coat, you know, program?
Yes.
I mean,
and that's true. So, if you're somebody who's organizing a coat drive, you typically don't have to store the coats for that long. I do one every year here. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, so we're, again, kind of a warm weather environment. But I do a coat drive with my church every year, and I'll typically only have the coats, you know, kind of in my possession for about a week before I deliver them to the local nonprofit. But you're right, the nonprofit has to be set up to store the coats for a small period of time before they can distribute them. So it's something to keep in mind if a local nonprofit is applying. And
hold your thoughts right there, and then we'll come back. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are looking at one warm coat. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I am talking with Beth Amadeo, President and CEO of One Warm Coat, a national nonprofit organization that provides free coats for children and adults in need while promoting volunteerism and environmental sustainability. Beth, I had to interrupt you. But we were talking about just the real logistics that are involved in the One Warm Coat. And you were talking about storage. So would you like to continue? Did you have?
Sure. Okay. I was just going to say, you know, a lot of times the nonprofits will hold one or two coat distributions during the fall and winter. And that's a great opportunity for them to give out all of the coats that they've received through the coat drives that have taken place.
Okay, so but they still need some place that they can store these coats.
Yes.
Until they get ready to distribute them. So that's
important.
Correct. Okay.
Yes.
What are share with us, the listening audience, what are some of the challenges that families face when trying to afford basic necessities like winter coats?
Well, you know, what we've seen, unfortunately, is a huge rise in the number of clients that our nonprofit partners are serving. And, you know, we attribute it to just an increase in the cost of so many different things, insurance, rent, groceries, gasoline. You know, the prices have been climbing and budgets are tighter than they have been. And so for a number of people, you know, a new coat for the winter is a budget extra that is challenging to afford. And that's kind of our philosophy with all of the wonderful nonprofit partners we have as well. Each of them has a different mission. Mm-hmm. And we see our part as providing this, you know, small piece for their clients so that the nonprofit can focus their resources on whatever their primary mission is.
Okay. All right. What about the conditions of the coats? When you receive them, do you set up criteria for what, how you want the coats to be? Do they need to be clean? They need
yes.
to be, yeah. You notice I'm asking you everything.
No, that's a great question. We always encourage coat drive organizers to let the coat donors know they want coats that are free of stains and holes and are freshly laundered. That's the ideal situation. And one thing we noticed is that there's always a small percentage of coats that are collected in every coat drive that really are not in good enough shape to mm-hmm. be passed on to someone else. Mm-hmm. And it really bothered our wonderful volunteers because, you know, they don't want to be wasteful. And a huge part of our mission is environmental sustainability. So we hated the idea of just throwing those coats away. So we do partner with a program called Retold Recycling. And it's based out of California. And they have plastic bags that they will ship to people that people can stuff full of textiles, even stuff that most places won't take, you know, like old socks mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. dish towels. Mm-hmm. And they take those items and then they use those as recycled textiles for things like insulation and stuffing for sleeping bags. And so, you know, people who are really saddened by the idea of having to throw some of the coats that have been donated away, have that as a resource now, which we were really glad to add that to our resources. But, you know, in general, we find that people are really good about recognizing that we don't want to donate anything to another child that we wouldn't want to put on our own child to go to school.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I just wondered how you handled that particular aspect of it.
Yes, it's just really, it's really a messaging thing just to remind people to, you know, please wash the coat first and make sure it doesn't have a big hole in it.
So, you know, we might be able to get someone to donate a storage room for a month.
Yes.
2 months, something like that.
And in some places, people who have organized coat drives have been successful in also getting a cleaning partner, such as a local dry cleaners or laundromat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can be a great place for people to drop off coats and then they will launder them as mm-hmm. well after they've been donated.
Okay. All right. I know here in Leon County, I mentioned the poverty rate is 19.4. And this number is higher than the national average, which is 12.5. So there's definitely a need here. So I'm hoping that someone will hear this and decide that they would like to do a drive, a coat drive. And 411 Teen is a nonprofit, and we would be willing to work with you. So that's, you know, I don't think I shared that with you, but that is one of the focuses on doing this program, that we can provide some of the folks in the community with a coat, okay?
I think that would be so wonderful. And if anyone is listening and interested in helping 411 Teen to do a drive there, we would love to help. And you can email us directly at drives. So that's DRIVES mm-hmm. at onewarmcoat.org. And we will help to pull that together and make that happen. It sounds like it is an urgent need in your part of the country. And mm-hmm. the great thing is it does get cold there later than it does in other places. So we have some runway, some time to really pull that together and make it successful.
Talk about, and I've touched on this before, but the role of poverty and what it plays in the child's ability and capacity to learn, you know, to build schools and to succeed academically, you know, because yes, they need food, but they need shelter and they need clothing. And just how this lack of an essential affects their learning, their capacity to learn and succeed academically.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons you hit the nail on the head that we're doing so much messaging around back to school, because it's so important for a child to have all of the same things that the other children have mm-hmm. and to have all of those essentials met for them. One of the most heartbreaking things I have seen, I've been with One Warm Coat through 6 winters now. So I've seen a lot of different examples of people donating coats and people receiving coats. One of the most heartbreaking things that I've seen is when a child receives a coat and it's so incredibly special and vital to them, because not only do they wear it to school, but they oftentimes have to wear it at home and mm-hmm. even to sleep in. Mm-hmm. You know, if they are in a situation where perhaps the parents are really struggling to afford paying the utilities, and so they're not turning the heat on, even when it's really cold, or they might be in substandard housing where there's not the kind of insulation that many of us take for granted. And so, you know, the children are often sleeping in their mm-hmm. coats on the mm-hmm. coldest nights. And to me, that, you know, really emphasizes how important it is to provide warmth for these families. And when I think of a coat, I think of it not just as an article of clothing, but also as a shelter and also kind of a warm hug, mm-hmm. you know, showing that somebody cares about you. And a lot of times we do this wonderful thing with volunteers where if you collect coats, you can also make notes. We call them pocket notes, mm-hmm. where you write a little word of encouragement or phrase of encouragement and maybe draw a picture and put one of those kind of little index card notes in each pocket before you donate them to the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So when the person receives the coat for the first time and they put the coat on, they put their hand in the pocket and find this nice little message of caring along with the coat. So it really adds to it feeling like, hey, someone cares about me.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. How can coat drives contribute to fostering empathy?
Absolutely. Great question.
And students and you know, and the wider community.
Well, the thing I love about coat drives is a coat is a very tangible thing. And it's something that can make an immediate impact. So it doesn't take as much imagination to mm-hmm. make that connection. What we've seen is that the thing that is so wonderful to see, so many of the children who have received coats through the program understand it implicitly. And so when mm-hmm. they outgrow the coat, they say, oh, you know what? This coat's too small for me now. Somebody else can have it and it will keep them warm. It's why I love this program for children and teens to get mm-hmm. engaged in, because it is very tangible. I have 2 teenage boys. They've been doing this with me for years now, and they don't even realize how tuned in they are to it. but they immediately, you know, when they have an item of clothing that doesn't fit anymore, they say, Mom, can you put this in the donate box?
Okay.
And I feel like that's, you know, it's just very tangible to think about. This coat that I wore last year, someone else is going to wear the same coat. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of creates that empathy that you're talking about and that connection. And those pocket notes really do the same thing. And, you know, my kids will roll their eyes because they've had to sit through so many pocket note making sessions. But I'm hoping that it's making a great lasting impression on them, you know, moving forward in life, that, you know, this is their opportunity to make life a little better for someone else.
Now, and I also think that, and you can elaborate on this, it seems like this one warm coat drive will encourage young people, like you said, to develop a sense of social responsibility. Would you agree or elaborate on that?
I would. And a lot of families have registered to do coat drives. And one of the things that can really connect your child or youth to the community is to take them with you when you go to deliver the coats to the nonprofit, and let them see, learn a little bit more about what that local nonprofit is doing and who they are serving. Mm-hmm. I took my oldest son with me a couple of years ago to deliver the coats, and the program manager, it was to a men's homeless shelter, and the program manager was kind enough to show us around, tell us about who the people are that they serve, you know, mm-hmm. what kinds of programs that they have. He talked about how they come in for dinner every night and how they leave in the morning to go to programs, you know, to help find jobs, to help build their resumes. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good experience for my son to be in that setting and to see the challenges that other people have and to be told very specific ways that he can help.
Well, what I hear you saying is that communities and schools and other nonprofits and businesses, all of them can collaborate to start their own coat drive and make a difference. Do you have any suggestions of how we proceed?
You're so right. Every year we have between 4,000 and 5,000 unique coat drives that take place across the country. And it's really wonderful to see a community band together and really mm-hmm. create a unified coat drive. You can have different businesses, such as, you know, nail salons or insurance companies, even dentist offices, as places where people can drop off coats. Mm-hmm. Each of those locations can be on our map with their business hours and accepting coat drives. You have the communications piece because you've got this wonderful radio show, and you can ask for other volunteers to share the information on their social media, maybe in their corporate newsletters or church mm-hmm. newsletters. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a great opportunity for anyone in the community who wants to pitch in to do something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share with me, because everything you're saying, I'm writing it down. Where do we start? I mean, I guess because there's so many things. To me, it sounds like there are a number of things that we have to have in place. We got to have storage. We got to have that. So we would need to do that. We've got to identify other groups, organizations, whatever, that would be willing to work together on this coat drive. That's another thing we need to do. And then we need to find volunteers. Just if you don't mind.
Well, you can. I mean, we're probably making it too complicated because,
oh, really?
it can be as simple as a student who needs service hours or wants to do a service project, mm-hmm. Registering the coat drive, and then just putting the word out to people that, you know, clean out your closets and donate coats. Mm-hmm. I did check the map, and there is already one nonprofit partner receiving coats on our nonprofit map in Tallahassee.
Okay.
And that's the Teresa Berger Foundation.
Say so that again. That's
it
the
is. What? It's the Teresa Berger, Berger Foundation.
Okay.
And they are on our map of nonprofits. They are receiving coats. So you might not even have to worry about the storage because they have already said that they can receive coats.
Okay.
So really, I mean, it can be as simple as I mentioned, with like a one-day drive. Or I have a friend whose daughter wanted to do this as a service project, and she did a couple things. One is she told her neighbors, send me a message if you want me to swing by and pick them up, and just put them in a garbage bag on your front porch and send me your address and I'll swing by and pick them up. But she also did another more special thing where she said, okay, on this Saturday, I'm going to, you know, be out on the driveway in front of my house for these couple of hours if you want to swing by and drop off coats. If you do have a business, that's great too, because you can even use it to incentivize customers. We've seen tons of places who will do things like, you know, if you come in and drop off a coat, you get 10% off your purchase that day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right? Or if a nail salon does it, you get $5 off of a manicure or pedicure. We've seen big retailers every year. Some of the national retailers that hold coat drives are Land's End and J. Crew and Duluth Trading.
Hold your thought. We'll get right back at you, okay?
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
See, that wasn't long. We're back. Continue to share your thoughts.
So some of the national partners will do things like every year, every J. Crew in the country holds a coat drive, and they're usually fairly long. I believe this year it's going to be from October 15th through December 31st. Mm. And they say if you bring in a coat to donate, you get $25 off of a new coat.
Mm. Okay. All right.
You know, or Land's End does it and says, I think it was $10 off of your purchase that day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, local retailers can do the same. And we've had some restaurants participate who will do things like say, you know, hey, you get a certain percentage off our burger if you bring in a coat. So anybody who's listening can, you know, formulate their own plan, and also feel free to visit the website for ideas or email us at our drives@onewarmcoat.org. email address, and we're happy to help brainstorm, because there's so many different ways to have a successful coat drive. Some of them really complicated with lots of partners, and some of them are just very simple.
It sounds, now that you've explained it a little more thoroughly, it sounds like it can be done. It just depends on what level you want to do it and how large you want it. But if you want to do it and get coats one day and distribute them the next day, that's a possibility. So it's pretty open to a number of options.
It is. And the organizers, so the ones who collect the coats, are not responsible for distributing them because our nonprofit partners do that. So that, you know, all you're really doing is collecting the coats and sticking some notes in the pockets if you'd like. And then you just drop the coats off at one of our partners. And as I mentioned, we do have one in Tallahassee, but we're certainly open to other ones, you know, joining us as well. But so it's really, it can be done even in one afternoon. It can be, you know, a really great one-day project. We have particularly ask people to think about doing these types of activities for the 9/11 day of service. Of course, that's coming up very soon. But another day that we've really focused on the last few years is the Martin Luther King Day of Service. And we have partnered the last 3 years with the MLK Center in Atlanta and AmeriCorps to do some messaging to people saying, hey, instead of thinking of it as a day off, think of it as a day on and do a coat drive on that day to help your community, you know, in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. And that has been really successful with the fact that you're in Tallahassee. And I can see that, you know, the need for coats is probably much greater there in like January, February than it is earlier. So that timing could work in your community.
Exactly. So, well, I thank you for the information. I know that environmental sustainability is a key part of your program. Elaborate and talk to us. How does one warm coat integrate sustainability into its operations?
So every year we distribute more than 500,000 coats, and the great majority of those are coats that are previously worn. We call them gently worn. And we want to encourage people, rather than cleaning out your closets and throwing those items away, this is a chance to give them a second life with somebody who really needs them. So we estimate that we keep about 1 million pounds of textiles out of landfills every year. But we also have a program that is really targeted towards anti-waste, and that is called the Zero Waste Initiative. And it started about 8 years ago. And we partner with really large retailers and manufacturers and wholesalers to take items that are either irregular or overstock or crowding up their warehouses. And it used to be, I mean, even as recently as 10 years ago, that those types of items would have typically been either A, incinerated, or B, shredded and put in landfills. Now we say to these companies, please let us match those items with one of our nonprofit partners. And so, for example, about 3 years ago, a manufacturer made a whole line of coats where one of the seams was on the outside. These were great coats. They had the one seam on the outside, so they couldn't sell them, but they were warm and dry and waterproof. And we were able to assist with the shipping costs for those and send them to Appalachia, where there's a huge need, but not many drives are organized there. And a number, actually 12 different nonprofits, were able to share in the bounty. And we had enough coats for 12 different nonprofits to get to distribute to their clients. One of those that I thought was really interesting was a dental office. Every Friday, they would provide free dental services to people who needed it. And they noticed that a lot of their patients on Friday were coming in out of the cold and having to head back out after their treatment into the bitter cold. And so they actually asked if they could participate, and they were able to get some of the coats. And then when people came in to get their teeth cleaned, they were able to send them back out into the cold Appalachian winter with not only clean teeth, but a nice warm coat. And I thought that was just a wonderful, wonderful look at how nonprofits can team up to serve the whole person.
Indeed. And sort of there's a connection there between the coat drive and reducing waste, fashion waste.
Yes.
That's what I was hearing too. I don't know if I'm headed in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
But those cups would have been thrown away, right? Or discarded or whatever.
Yes, and we are passionate about that, and we absolutely love that, our primary mission is sharing warmth with people who need it. But we love that at the same time that's happening, we are, as you said, reducing fashion waste, upcycling these items, outerwear items that may have otherwise been discarded, and giving them a very important second purpose.
Well, I tell you one aspect that I really like. I mean, I like everything about it, but is the whole volunteerism and creating and fostering that sense of what's social responsibility among young folks.
Yes, I couldn't
I
agree
mean, I
more.
really
And
think that that's positive.
it's one of the reasons I love my job. I feel like it is something that everyone can plug into. And really, like in the most basic way, you can get your kids engaged just by helping them to clean out their closet and to really talk and think about, well, I don't ever wear these items. Let's set them aside for someone else who needs them. So there's that kind of entry level into getting involved is fabulous. We need all of those people. And then we're the ones who really want to dig deeper and really commit to making a huge impact in their community. They can go a step farther and actually, register to hold a coat drive.
I mean, it really has a vast potential, and it's all positive, no matter where you're sitting, where you're coming from. It's positive for the entity or the organization that's being involved, and for the students who are participating, and for the community. I mean, it's a great idea all the way around. I agree.
Well, 2 years ago at my oldest son's high school, they put a box in the lobby and they put a lot of markers and colored pencils and pieces of paper and asked the students to create a note as they were passing through the lobby and put it in the box. And, these were high school students. So I was a little, I was worried. I wanted to read every single note before we gave them to anybody to put in the pockets. Because, it's high school students. Who knows what they're going to do? And I would say there were probably around, 400 or 500 notes in there. And there was not a single one that was ugly. It was astonishing. I mean, there were a couple I thought that were like kind of meh. And I just, didn't love it. But there was nothing that was rude or inappropriate. And I thought that was such a message of hope in looking at our youth today that, I had, it turned out, no reason to be concerned.
That is great. I was just going to ask you, would you share a success story? But there's one right there. That is just. What can you say? That shows you that, hey, there's a lot of positive things going on with our youth today, although I find that a lot of people don't seem to feel that way.
Well, yes. I mean, it can feel discouraging when you read the news. And also sometimes you feel like, teenagers are like this today and always have been, that they don't take very many things seriously, right? But this showed me that they took this assignment seriously and they were heartfelt.
Are there any other ways in this last few minutes that we have that you could share for individuals, for schools, or for communities? Because I want them to grasp just what they can do, and it's almost they can do anything that you can share that show how they can participate in these coat drives. Because I want them to get to feel that, they can, we can contact Teresa Berger Foundation and see how we can work with them. But anything else that you might share for the students, for the schools, for the communities, and in participating in these drives?
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned schools because I had neglected to mention that. And schools are some of our most important contacts on both sides of the equation. So schools are a fabulous place to hold a code drive. Sometimes it is a social worker at the school who helps to organize it. Sometimes it's a club, a service club at the school. When this project happened at the high school here, it was run by the Interact Club, which I believe is the high school version of the Rotary Club. So schools are a great place to hold code drives. They are also a really great place to receive codes and distribute them. So sometimes, actually, the school district is a great place to start if someone wants to hold a code drive and isn't sure where to take the codes. Reaching out to the local school district is a really great place to start and to say, you know, do you have students and families that can utilize these some codes? And they are often very grateful for that and very happy to receive those codes and be able to distribute them. Because a lot of times a teacher will notice, for example, that a student does not have a coat when it's time to go out for recess. And it's wonderful for them to be able to have that resource right there at their school. You know, maybe there's a clothing closet. Maybe there's a social worker who holds on to some of those items for students who need them as that need arises. And so getting involved in that on both sides is really great. We'd love to have schools participate.
Okay. What are your hopes for the future with One Warm Code and its role in helping children and families and adults in need? Where do you see it going?
So I will tell you that at the end of every winter season, we survey all of the nonprofit partners. And we surveyed our partners last year. And even though we distributed more than 500,000 codes last year, 80% of our partners said they still did not receive enough codes to distribute to all of the clients that they have. So my heart is set on meeting the needs of our nonprofit partners. And really, all we need to make that possible is even more wonderful volunteers, both individuals and organizations across the country, to just, you know, do that one simple thing, which is to hold a code drive for their community. And I know, you know, like, thank you for talking with me and helping to spread awareness, because that's what's going to make it achievable.
Candidly speaking, how much work is involved? And it sounds, and I ask that because it sounds like it can be as little or as much, depending on how, you know, large you want and the vastness that you want reach as far as communities. But I just want to make sure I'm on the right path. So share that, will you?
Yes. Well, you said it perfectly. It can be a very small commitment of maybe just, you know, an hour to figure out where you're going to have the drive and the date and register it. And publicize it a little bit, and then to actually hold the drive if it's for one day. Or it can be a bigger commitment, especially if you have a group that is organizing it. You can have all of the, you know, team members or service club members participating. It can be a much bigger endeavor. And, you know, you can really keep it as small and straightforward and not as heavy of a lift, or you can build it. And, you know, you can always start out small the first year and see how it goes, and then build it the next year, you know, recruit maybe the first year you hold it just with your high school student and you collect some codes. And then the next year, maybe you go out and ask a local business to team up with you. And the next year, you ask a local media partner to team up with you. You know, it can be a slow grow as well.
Well, Beth, this has been great. I just appreciate so much you taking the time to share all the information about One Warm Coat. So I want to extend my sincere appreciation to you, okay? Thank you so much. It is time out for this edition of 411 Teen. And again, many thanks to Beth Amadeo, President and CEO of One Warm Coat. To my listening audience, I appreciate the privilege of your time and your ear. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.